This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do?
Ahoy!
What is up?
Did you get settled over there?
I am settled.
You were white knuckling it.
I'm ready to go.
Can I interest you in a nice quilt?
No.
For whatever reason.
Actually, yes.
upon.
Why did I say no? I want a quilt. Yeah, quilts are great.
Are you anti-quilt? Yeah, we have a... We came in and on our couch here, there's four quilts. Well, I'm going to say three quilts and a throw. That top one looks more like a throw, and I don't know
yes,
why.
Yes, we have a couch in the studio.
Why do we have...
Can you guys see that on camera?
I don't think so.
They cannot.
Why is...
There's a yellow couch in here.
Why is someone... It's not that comfortable, but...
No, it's
you know,
not.
It's there.
I think Ortner slept on it.
With four quilts?
Well, I mean, you got to be...
Well, what do we... Why did someone bring quilts? Why is our...
Because somebody slept there. You got to be warm.
Oh, well.
Cover the tootsies.
You need four blankets?
Well, I don't know.
No.
Some people...
Also, who is sleeping here and why?
I don't know.
Well, didn't you say Ortner?
Well, no, Dusty... I said he has slept on that couch.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't believe Dusty, he did over this weekend.
Dusty brought up an interesting thing. Will is cheap and has no money. We do have a shower here. There's a kitchen. There is a couch. There's multiple couches. Is it possible that Will has just decided to say, I don't need rent, just going to double up the space? You know, and as long as you leave, you know, during the day to go out and do whatever it is you do, no one would really be the wiser. You come in at 7:30, there's no one left in the building. It's kind of a genius plan when you get right down to it. And you think about the rent you're saving, it's not that bad. Probably bring people over here at night, party a little bit, plenty of TVs, free cable, free Wi-Fi.
What about when he wants to woo the ladies?
Well, I mean, is it
want to check out my studio?
No one's here at night.
No, there's no one here at night. Is it impressive to say that you live at the studio, or do you just kind of do the, hey, do you want to come check out the studio? And then next thing you know, you're on the love couch, which maybe, you know, don't.
Impressive to some.
Yeah, don't lay down on the couch if you're not Will, or lay out one of the quilts.
Well, there are better places to do it around here than that.
Yeah. I mean, there's several. What about the pods? You know, we've got those. You know,
well, you could, I mean, depending on what kind of music your partner is into,
yeah,
you could choose a studio based
That's
on that,
true.
You know?
Yeah. And Lord knows we've got the seating capabilities here. There's like 8 million chairs and couches.
Yeah.
You
could go into the little private.
Like I said, little privacy pods there, which aren't really private, but.
I thought you were talking about like our studs, our studios.
Well, and there is several rooms that say rest areas that lock. You can go in there.
You're onto something.
I mean, it's not bad.
Is Will squatting here?
It's possible. That's all. Look, I and maybe it's someone other than Will. I'm just like, maybe Sprague got kicked out of the house. It's not the worst idea that
we also
anyone
have cameras,
could have.
So you can record your OnlyFans content.
Yes, yes,
important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I knew someone who lived at a like a fitness studio. There was someone who owned the business, and they kind of made the back room into a, and it was illegal. You can't do that. It wasn't zoned for it, but they did live at their like private workout studio for a while. So, I mean, as long as no one rats you out, who here would rat anyone out? I don't think there's anyone around to rat you out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because the first people get here at like, what, 9? Last people leave here at 7?
Well, the first people get here at like 5:30 because it's like swagging them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Don't forget about our morning show.
Yeah, but they're not going to say anything.
No,
and it's a big space. You could easily avoid those people in the morning. And then someone's like, man, that Will Ortner is burning the candle. Dude, that guy's the first guy in, last guy to leave. And what you realize is
real lunch pail guy.
Yeah, he never really went anywhere. It's the George Costanza theory. You just hang out here.
Well, it's not a bad place to squat.
No.
So I wouldn't even be mad about it.
No.
If, well, I mean, not that I would, I mean, why would I care?
No.
But even if I were the boss, I wouldn't care.
No.
Great job by Will.
Yeah. Kudos.
Smart.
Best ability, availability.
And clearly, he's nice and warm.
That's true.
Four blankets over there.
I just think he may have messed up by leaving the four quilts. You know, that's, you don't want
to. Breadcrumbs.
You don't want to tip your hand. At least tuck those underneath the couch or something.
All right, well, thanks to the auto show for having us out on Friday. We were out there at the auto show. It was so fun that I bought 8 cars.
That's a lot of cars.
Isn't that crazy?
That is a lot of cars.
I bought 8.
How's that Cybertruck?
Cybertrucks. I'm going to pass them out as gifts to my friends.
Rob's a big Elon guy, I can tell.
If you got a Cybertruck as a gift, would you drive it?
No.
Why not?
I will not support that douche canoe in any shape or form. And two, I would sell it because it's the worst looking car I've ever seen.
Well, what if I gave you a Cybertruck, but then I said, the stipulation is you can't sell it.
Nah,
you either drive it or you just...
Nah, I'm all right.
Yeah? Nah. You don't want it, huh?
No. Nah,
how much are those things?
I think they're pretty spendy. It's an expensive thing. It's like by 80, right, 90 Gs, something like that. It's an expensive car.
I thought they were into 6 figures, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Is it 80? It says 80.
Yeah, I don't know.
Base model.
I got no time for that, man. I'm good. I'm all right.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I don't.
Well, it was fun out there.
It was fun out there. I was going to go back, but I was laid up this weekend. I didn't feel very good.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have a fever. I didn't have congestion or anything. I just felt like I got hit by a car. Maybe I got hit by
the auto show.
The auto show. I just felt crappy all weekend. And so I was kind of struggling on Saturday, and then Sunday I laid in bed for basically 20 hours.
Mm.
I just felt cruddy. Took a bunch of NyQuil, and
wow.
I do it. When I don't feel good, I just go into hibernation mode. I just start doubling up the medication, and we just go into dreamland.
Hey, I have an announcement to make.
What do you got?
The torch has been passed, Jace. Yeah.
What do you got?
As of today.
Mm-hmm.
The mirrored wall and green shag carpet.
Oh, no.
In the All-American City of Salina, Kansas.
Yeah.
144 Overhill Road.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Oh. Sold, huh?
New owner. It's out.
Oh. And you know what's going to happen the first thing when they move in?
R.I.P.
They're going to tear out the carpet and tear out the wall.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, they will.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they would keep it.
They will.
But,
they will.
Yeah, well, it's their house. They can do whatever they want.
That's a hell of a run.
Yeah, 45
years. 45
years. Yeah, pretty much my whole life.
Yeah.
My brother and I grew up there fighting and playing wiffle ball.
It is, you'll never go back, right? I mean, there's no...
What do you mean?
You'll never see that house again.
Well, I might, for nostalgic...
For nostalgia.
For nostalgia.
Person? Yeah.
I might.
So...
See, I kind of wanted to see what they do with it.
Well, like, it is weird in that, so I live over by the house that I grew up in, and that's where the power lesbians live now, who are the nicest people you'll ever meet. And occasionally I do find myself interacting with the power lesbians where I go into my childhood home.
Girl, you something else.
It is, it's bizarre. Because all of the things that made up that house, they're all, I mean, they have completely renovated it. Because I think my parents lived there for... Let's say it was like 37, 37, 38-ish years, and you don't even recognize it. Everything has been completely redone. And so when even if you drive by it or you walk in it, it's very odd to walk in and be like, oh, well, that's not supposed to be there. And why? What happened? We had this like awful chandelier. And I'm like, every time I walk in, I'm like, what? Why isn't there a giant hole in that wall right there? Because that there was a hole in the wall for like 15 years that never got patched.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. My parents sold their house, if you're not following.
Yeah. Well, that's why you went down to Kansas. Yeah. Like,
try to help them. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to try to get them out west. They're getting it at the advanced age where it's like, we don't need to be going out there. Get them out here. And,
You don't, when, when you're at that age, you don't need to be in the Kansas winters anymore.
Well, that's true. Boy, it was butt cold out there.
That's tough.
I don't know how people do it. Yeah. At any rate, they'll probably come out west later this year. But that, I don't know how, do people have attachments to childhood homes?
Because
I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to feel. I don't feel, I mean, I have great memories there, but I don't really feel all that sad about it. I know my mom's struggling with it.
Yeah.
Dad's happy because he's just, it's off his hand. It, you know, it's because he's the one that has to keep it all up and everything, and he's happy to not have to do that anymore. But, you know, I don't know. I don't feel much.
You will. The first time you see it, the first
going back there?
Yeah, the first time you, but if they leave, will you ever go back to Salina?
Like I said, I mean, it would have to be just for that reason, you know, like
there's a good chance. There's a good chance that when Mom, Pa, Rot move west, you just don't. You just don't.
May never go back.
You don't go back. I haven't.
Well,
been,
nowadays you can just do a like. Can you just look it up online?
Yeah,
and,
you look it up online.
Yeah.
Well, mine. So my house in Alaska, the old 1961 Wickersham. I haven't seen that since my dad left it, and that was.
But the question is, do you have a real desire to go see it?
I would like to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But that's, you know, like.
But you won't.
No. I mean, there's a better chance that I end up in Anchorage again than you end up in Salina, I would think. Because there's
Why?
No offense, but no one's ever in the history of vacations or Kansas gone to Salina for vacation. People go to Anchorage. Well, you go to Alaska. So, like, we've talked about bringing my kids who have never been. I've talked about bringing them to where I grew up and taking them up there to some of the, you know, the Denali National Park or out to Juneau or Kodiak. And if we were to go to Alaska, I would 100%, because you fly into Anchorage, and then from there you go out. I would 100% take them by Wickersham Drive and show them where I grew up and show them the little park and the creek and all that. And, you know, I would 100% do that. I don't know. If you would, does Meat have a real desire to see Salina, Kansas?
Well, Meat's good buddy who lives out here with him or in the same apartment complex. Mm. He's from there and his parents still live there.
Yeah.
So there are still ties there.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get to and it's just.
Look, you're not going back.
Probably not.
Probably
but
not.
If I did, I would certainly stroll by 144 Overhill Road and see what they've done to it. So, end of an era. End of an era.
It makes me sad.
I used to do it once in a while up in La Center. Every now and then I'll be driving back from Seattle or whatever, and I'll detour off in La Center and look at the old homestead.
Hell, I drive by our old house here.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah. I just like, I wonder what they did with it.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's looking like.
Well, I drive by the I drive by my other childhood home every day. And, you know, I see the nice power lesbians out there in their Subarus. And, you know, I will say that they did something nice when... When my mom lived there, after my dad died, we got her a hydrangea bush, and we called it Little Bobby, because my dad was Big Bobby. So we planted it right out front, and we do a thing in my family, like we have a memorial plant. Like we did one for my wife at our house, like when she passed. And so we had Little Bobby out there, and they have completely redone everything. They've painted new roof. I mean, they've changed it. You wouldn't even recognize it. But you know the one thing they kept? They kept Little Bobby. Mm. Yeah, they even dug him up, but they put him in a because they changed kind of the landscape. But they put him in a big pot. And so if you do go by there, they still have Little Bobby,
nice.
Which I appreciated. That was a nice little tip of the cap. To the old man that lived there for almost four decades.
Well, your brother has been to my old house.
Yeah.
You have not.
I have not. I've seen the photos.
But you've seen that it was kind of like a museum.
It's amazing.
Like things had not been touched in there for 50 years.
The green shag carpeting was amazing, but I got to tell you, the mirrored wall was my favorite.
Yeah, but in the same room.
Yeah.
By the way.
Although the mirrored wall also was a little creepy because I realized what that mirrored wall has seen, but, you know.
Some mean Nerf ball battles between my brother and I.
I promise you the first thing that someone does upon buying that house is that mirrored wall going down.
That house is old, and I'm guessing the person will tear it completely down. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of... You know, it's like it's a really nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I noticed when I was back there, every house on the block that we grew up on, every single house, not one had not been renovated.
Yeah.
Not one. They all look great, except for ours is the last one.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this person, by the way, didn't even make it to the market. It was such a hot item.
No, I just went. Nice gentrification of the neighborhood.
And so somebody bought it, and I would imagine they're just going to, they're going to gut it.
Yeah.
But, anyway, there was a bunch of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you, old Ma and Pa Rob did a great job of, because, you know, they're the type of olds that need every little thing to go somewhere important. Like, somebody could use that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it to that person and so they went through that whole thing, and I helped at the end, but they did a lot of work getting everything to, whether it be Salvation Army or people to come over and buy things or... Some woman helped him put on an estate sale. I mean, it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
And yet, and so all their stuff, it kind of makes me feel good that all their stuff is scattered about, strewn about rural Kansas in different homes.
It's a little piece of the ROPS have gone. Did you find anything cool, though? Digging through?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of things.
Because that's kind of fun.
Yeah, there's lots of little things. Like, I'm not big on, they had a bunch of antique furniture and stuff. Like, my dad had a huge roll top desk, like, probably weighs 8 tons.
Yeah.
Awesome, but I have no place for it.
And nowhere to get it back. And
exactly. So it's on consignment. But little thing, I kept their record player.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll find little stuff.
I'm gonna have that.
No one had been in my parents' attic in probably 20 years. And so I being the most spry of our family, it was me and my boy who went up into the attic. And it was a time machine. And I found a yard sign, because when we moved from Anchorage, we moved to Gresham on Battalia Street, and I found the sale sign for the garage sale and the actual for sale sign when we sold our house in Gresham and moved to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the attic, and I was like, oh my God, 30-year-old garage sale sign.
Yeah.
So little stuff like that when you dig
it's
through.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a time machine.
My mom kept all kinds of letters from her, like, her parents and their parent, like, written in the, the early 1900s.
Yeah.
Like, you come across this stuff, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
We're not throwing this out.
You got to hold on to that.
We're holding on to that.
And it'll be it. It's awesome.
Yeah. It'll be cool to go through down the road. But, So today's the day. Yeah. Green shag carpet.
Someone said they just looked up your home and it looks like a lovely home and a great little
I'm looking at it now. Technology's crazy like that. Where, you can just mention it and now I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
And
well, I did give you guys the address.
Of course. But the fact that you're, like, kind of waxing poetic about this and now I can actually visualize it because it's right there.
See that front yard there? So it's three stories, but you can't tell that from the front.
Yeah.
It goes down in the back.
It's got an ass to it, is what it's got.
It's got a big caboose.
There you go.
And our wiffle ball we played out back there.
Love the little brick path, though.
Yeah, a little brick path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's the all-American home and the all-American city.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll miss it. All right, well, do you guys want to...
Yeah, why not?
Sport?
Yeah, sports, why not?
It's TGL Monday. We've already got TGL on the TV. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Double header today, baby.
Double header. Our first bet not looking so good. Ooh, look at that.
It's the spear.
It's getting late early.
It is getting late early. We're going to need to double up to catch up a little bit later.
Use that hammer.
Mm. Excuse me. Water.
Man.
I like water.
Got to hydrate.
Big water.
Big
goes
water.
Drip, drip, drip.
It goes drip, drip, drip. It's called rain. Comes down from heaven.
Well, we're going to start with our NFL Monday musings. Does that make you happy or sad?
Makes me happy.
And it makes me sad.
Well, the combine's here, too.
The combine is here.
Lots of stuff happening.
All right, we'll get to that to kick off the show next on The Fan. You don't have my number. All right, nice to have you along. It's Monday. TGL Monday, I might add. Doubleheader.
Can't wait. Although I got a mock draft going on mine right now for... some unknown reason.
Oh, the NFL draft, you mean? Is that what you're talking about?
Matt Miller's pro comparisons for Tet McMillan and Drake London. I guess that would be Drake London.
Is that what they call him, Tet?
Yeah, because his name, it's...
name's kind of... I don't want to say it's wonky, but it's a hard one to get.
Yeah.
Do we know how to pronounce it?
Yeah, I'll figure it out here.
He's the guy from McMillan, I believe. But everyone just... Now everyone's going to either T-Mac or just Tet.
Tet, Tet. Tetoria.
Well, it's a weird...
Who's that band?
One more time.
Tet, Tet, Tetoria.
Oh, yeah. What is that? That song, I know
that's
that.
Duran Duran.
Duran Duran. Yeah, this might be the sixth NFL draft where a tight end goes before a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who's the big stud tight end?
It'll be Tyler Warren out of Penn State, and then Loveland, the kid out of Michigan. You could have two tight ends go off the board before I have our first receiver, which would be a little bit of an upset.
Look at your girl Hannah up there.
Yeah.
She looks great.
How you doing?
She's doing great.
Where's Suze? I need my Suze on here.
So, besides it being TGL Monday doubleheader, which is really the headline story, it is Combine Week.
Yes.
Time for the NFL Draft Combine.
Yeah, we're already getting the, I'm not going to do anything at the Combine.
The Underwear Olympics, as they call it.
So Shadur not going to do anything. Ashton Gentry not going to do anything. Abdul Carter not going to do anything. So there you go.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares? I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But so at least we have that to look forward to.
Oh, there's so much stuff that comes out of the Combine.
Even though it's super, I mean.
Yeah.
It's just, it's at a time where there's not as much going on.
But that's why the NFL does it. I mean, the NFL does a great job of keeping themselves in the headlines 24/7. So you got your big boards, you got your positions, you got your mocks, you got free agency, all that stuff going on. Now you got the rumors about like Matthew Stafford. I mean, there's just, the NFL never stops.
Matthew Stafford.
The Rams are allowing Matthew Stafford to go flirt with some other teams and see what's out there.
Well, they should.
Yeah.
Because they may not want to pay him. So they should let him see what he could get out there.
It definitely feels that they want Matthew Stafford. They just don't want Matthew Stafford at the number that Matthew Stafford wants.
Well, he wants $50 million a year.
That's a lot of cheddar.
It is, but I looked it up today, and if I told you that, or no, let me ask you a question. I have a question.
Ask away.
Is it fair... Is it a fair number if Stafford gets a deal between that of Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray? Would you call that fair?
I do think
now he's 37.
He is 37. I think it's a fair deal considering the fact that they are one defensive block tackle away from beating Philadelphia. I think the problem with the Rams
So with the Rams,
yes,
you think it's fair
if
he slotted in between what Jalen Hurts gets and what Kyler Murray gets?
I do think that that's fair.
I do too. That's where $50 million is.
Yeah.
Right there.
And the cap went up. I think the problem that the Rams are having is they see Matt. It's always easy for us to see these things from the outside and be like, well, Matthew Stafford's good. But Matthew Stafford has missed time. Matthew Stafford is beat up. Matthew Stafford, for much of last year, did not look like the Matthew Stafford that we've seen in years past. Towards the end of the year, he got it going. And if you're Sean McVay and you're the Rams and you have a very, very young team, a very, very bright team, to me, it makes sense that you would lock him up for 2 to 3 more years and say, we are in a Super Bowl window right now. But clearly, something is going on with a pretty smart team in the Rams who have not had a problem shoving their chips into the middle of the table. And they want a Super Bowl this way. So the fact that the Rams are kind of balking at this and saying, I don't know, man, you want to go flirt? You want to go see what's out there? It leads me to believe one of two things. Either A, they think that Stafford is more washed than we realize and that he showed real signs of diminishing return, or they think that there is a solution out there right now to extend the window. Because with Stafford, realistically, you've got 2 years left, right? Where if you're the Rams, you can say, we keep this open. If they are going to allow him to walk, they have to, whatever that plan is, and I'm not privy to that plan, but they have to believe that there is a plan then to extend this window from 2 years to 8 to 10 years, because outside of him, they moved on from Cooper Kupp, they moved on from Aaron Donald, right? If they do move on from Matthew Stafford, and you look at him, it is a really, really young team. So to me, it doesn't make sense. If you're the Rams, the Stafford thing, that's not the worst deal in the world, right? And the cap went up and you can afford it because you're not a very expensive roster across the board. But the fact that the Rams are doing that, and remember, this isn't the Cincinnati Bengals or a crappy-ass Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a pretty smart Rams team over the last decade. You know, that's interesting to me. It kind of puts up some warning signs.
Did I miss a Cooper Kupp trade?
No, but they are...
They're going to.
They're moving on. They don't want him back.
Okay.
So they're moving on.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe they want to reboot this thing.
It's possible.
Since they're so young.
Yeah.
But
and also, if you're Matthew Stafford, dude, you've made like $400 million. If you think there's a chance to win another Super Bowl, my God, you would think that you'd be able to come to some form of...
Well, they might.
Yeah.
They might. I mean, a lot of this is probably just posturing. From the Rams' side, if they want to recalibrate the franchise, they've got a good young defense. Maybe they think this is the time to do it on the offensive side as well.
Possible.
Like, those two things don't match up. A 38-year-old Matt Stafford does not match up with the young defense. So maybe we just go young on both sides, and then in 2 years... It's a quicker way to turn it around since they've already kind of they're kind of halfway there, right?
Yeah.
So that's maybe one thing they're thinking.
Yeah.
So another maybe Stafford's the new Russell Wilson.
It's possible.
And I'm not comparing him to Russell Wilson in any other way other than the Seahawks saw Russell Wilson still had value. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to pay him, and so they traded him.
Yeah.
And Stafford may be that. It's like, hey, we think he has value, but not $50 million per year value.
Yep.
So therefore, we'll trade him, get something for him, flip the script on this thing, and be back in it in a year or two.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a terrible way to go. Maybe they could get Aaron Rodgers for half the price.
It's possible. Maybe they
would like... Would you do that? Would you take Aaron Rodgers for half the money and the shorter years than Matt Stafford?
If I was convinced that Aaron Rodgers... Still had a lot in the tank. Yeah. Half of Aaron Rodgers for what, if I could get Aaron Rodgers for 20 or 25,
I'd do that.
Because both of them right now are bridge quarterbacks. And I know that sounds weird for Matthew Stafford, but he's 37 years old. He is a bridge quarterback right now. And yeah, if it's going to cost me 50 or 55 guaranteed each year over the next 3 years that I can't get out of, and that's the thing, maybe he wants 3 years. And with Stafford or with Rodgers, I can do it for a year or two and not have to give that. I think there is some sense in that. I don't think it's ridiculous of what they're trying to do. Or maybe they think that, the Sam Darnold thing. Maybe it's that. I don't know.
Mm.
Maybe there's a guy in the draft that they really like.
Now, that to me would be a mistake.
I would think
so. If they're looking to replace Stafford with Darnold.
I would think so, too.
I think McVay likes Stafford, but I think it's business.
Yeah.
$50 million is a lot of money. But like I said, $50 million, if he makes right on $50 million a year, that's only 10th amongst quarterbacks.
No.
I know that seems like it. Maybe it's one, two, or three. It's not. It's 10th.
But you look at him, and I know one of the years that he was hurt, but if we go back to 2022, the last 3 years, he got hurt 9 games, 10 touchdowns, 8 picks, and then the next year he played 15 games, 3,900 yards, 24-11, solid, and then last year played 16 games, was beat up a little bit, but 20 touchdowns, 8 picks. He was solid, but none of those numbers are... astronomical. They really want one because they turned over the roster and relied on a young defense, and then he was able to kind of elevate it at the end of the year last year and kind of get it going. But Matthew Stafford is not... This is not Matthew Stafford from 5 years ago. It's not. And maybe that's something that the Rams are just going to play hardball with and be like, man, we love you, but we don't love you to this extent. And we know teams are desperate, and we know teams are dumb. And maybe there's a dumb team willing to give the Rams a nice haul to move on from.
Well, there are four teams so far that have shown interest.
Yeah.
We'll tell you who those teams are next, and then we'll have a segment called The Nerve. You know what that's about?
I don't, but I like it.
You're going to love it. The Nerve. Coming up, here's Buck.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sorry, I want to run.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hi. So the what?
Oh, it's just like when you said.
What's the matter with you?
Pod. That's the Mike Lynch. Hi, I'm a balloon.
Bye.
Bye.
Great drop.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about Matthew Stafford. Yes. We're talking about the. It's just kind of a weird thing. They seem to be heading for a little bit of a divorce.
Well, let's talk about just ramming it in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's weird.
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
There it is. Because, I mean, I get it. Yeah. It's, you know, Matt Stafford, it's probably the most interesting story of the offseason.
Yeah.
You know, they were a stone's throw from beating the Eagles in Philly.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know this, but the Eagles won it all.
Yep.
Did you know that?
They had him. Again, all they had to do was block Jalen Carter, and Stafford throws a wide open touchdown there, and thanks for coming.
So that's a good team. So what happens with Stafford is really interesting, and they're just kind of playing a mean game of chicken because Stafford is older.
Yeah.
Hurt some, and while very good, he's saying, well, hey, you should pay me $50 million a year. And the Rams are like, I mean,
no, why don't you go
we like you,
out there?
But I mean, do we need to do that? What else is out there? So the four teams that have shown interest, according to reports, do you like how I did that?
I did. It's a very Jason Swigart-esque.
Giants, Browns, Steelers, and Raiders.
And
two of those I can make a strong case for. One I can make a really strong case for. One I can see it. The other two are bad franchises doing bad things.
I think you just did. Is that five?
That's four. I said two I can make a case, and I actually said one I can make a very strong case.
And then the other not.
The other one is okay. I can see it. And then the other two I said are just bad franchises doing bad things.
I got you. So Steelers, you can make a case.
Steelers is the strong case, right? If you're the Steelers, ever since Roethlisberger left, you have been in no man's land, right? You have nothing going for you offensively. And yet every year with Mike Tomlin, you're not bad enough to end up in the top 10 and to get a franchise quarterback. And you tried with Kenny Pickett. That didn't work, right? You put a Band-Aid on it with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. That doesn't work. But you win 9 or 10 games. You get to the playoffs. You have a good defense. You're well-coached, all of those things. And yet, we know this team is going nowhere. Matthew Stafford, you can make a case that with Matthew Stafford, I still think you're going to have to address your offensive line, and you need a receiver that isn't a dumbass. Both of your backs are free agents, but you can find running backs later in the draft. You can find them in free agency. If you can get a healthy 2 to 3 years out of Matthew Stafford, I totally see where the Steelers say, dude, we can win 10 games with the crappy quarterback play we have. Why can't we win 11 and 12 and actually make a run with Matthew Stafford? Again, it's a Band-Aid on a bleeding massive wound, but it's a wound that hasn't even had a Band-Aid on it in years. So that makes sense. The Cleveland one, I guess. Again, I thought a couple years ago, I thought you had a roster that was really, really talented, and I think some of that has been diminished. You've got a couple of your best defensive players that I don't want to be here anymore. You got one of your best offensive linemen that's saying, I don't know if I want to come back. Are we really contending? That kind of feels like if you're Cleveland, this is a desperate attempt to try to stay relevant. I think Matthew Stafford in Cleveland doesn't particularly make them any sort of contender. I think, again, it just is kind of almost... I don't know. It's just a desperation, but I could see it. You can make a case. That's not a bad roster. The other two, that's garbage.
Raiders and Giants.
Raiders and Giants. The only thing you can say about the Giants is they know they're getting fired. Dable and their general manager both know that if they don't do something big, they're fired. And we talk about this all the time. When you allow a GM and a coach to come back when they probably should be fired, you almost seal your own fate. Because they start doing dumb things, not for the long-term benefit. They start doing things because they're like, well, we don't want to get fired.
Yeah.
And yes, bringing in Matthew Stafford maybe does enough to save your job, but you're going nowhere. And if you're Matthew Stafford, God, I hope you're not dumb enough to chase money by going to the Giants and getting your teeth kicked in. And then the Raiders is the one that I truly don't understand. You are so far away, if you're the Raiders, from being competitive, especially in that division. You're in the division with the Chiefs. You're in the division with an up-and-coming Broncos team. And you're in a division with a Chargers team that came in and basically tore it down to the studs and was still playoff-level team. And you think... with everything you've got going on, you think trading and then paying $50+ million for Matthew Stafford, who, by the way, is beat up every single year, you think that is going to do something for you?
Well, I don't think...
I don't
feel like Brady and Carroll will do that. I know that I see why they're on the list, but I just feel like they're smarter than that.
I would hope so.
Because they know that now's not the time to pay $50 million to a quarterback.
Yeah, you're just trying to sell tickets at that point?
Giants, I see your point. They would do that.
Yes.
I think they could do that. I don't know that the Raiders will.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, the co-favorites to land Aaron Rodgers on DraftKings, Raiders, Rams, and Steelers.
Aaron Rodgers is a little bitch.
So Stafford and Rodgers are kind of linked.
Well, because you're getting, depending on which one you like better, and I don't know why you wouldn't like Matthew Stafford better at this point, but you know they're both the same thing. You're getting lesser versions, injury-prone, 40 and into your late 30s, and
different versions of the same horse, basically.
Yes, and Stafford can be a little bristly, and you got some stuff that comes along with his wife and some headlines, and Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but it only makes sense if you need a quarterback in a two-year window that you think is the final piece. And that's why I don't understand when we hear the Raiders or even Cleveland. Cleveland's not winning a Super Bowl in 2 years.
Bang, bang.
So I just don't understand why this is like when the Blazers for all those years were doing a lot of crap to end up being the 8th seed in the West. Why? Why not? Especially when the Raiders, like you got new management in there and you're going with Tom Brady, right? And you're feeling like maybe you're trying to turn over a new leaf. Just wipe the slate clean and start taking more bites at the apple to actually build a real roster and find your quarterback that way. Because very rarely does going with an aging quarterback really end up with the result that you wanted. To be fair, one of those that worked out was Matthew Stafford. But Matthew Stafford wasn't that old when he came over, and he also came into a team that was right on the cusp.
So it's hard to believe that Dak Prescott is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, but he is.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money.
He makes $60 million a year.
Yeah.
Smiles and glory hopes.
And some of those, and remember, like Josh Allen and Burrow and Mahomes, they all have backloaded contracts. So,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, Allen's down there at $43 million. He's 13th.
But look at where, in a couple years, where his...
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm just saying average per year.
Yeah.
Dak is number one at 60.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, and Tua. Those are your top six.
Yeah.
Or five.
Yeah, it's tough.
Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts. And then if you paid Matthew Stafford $50 million a year on average, that's what he's asking for anyway.
Yeah.
That's where he would slot in. So when you look at it that way, it's not crazy.
No.
Because he's really good. He's better than a lot of the quarterbacks I just mentioned.
Sure.
So Rams have a decision to make. That'll be an interesting watch.
Yeah,
in the offseason.
If I'm a Rams fan, I'm hoping that you come to some sort of...
I bet they keep him.
I hope so.
I think McVay will keep him.
And if you don't, you better have a definitive plan because you're in a nice window here, right? You kind of went through the desert and you're like, oh, hell, after our Super Bowl.
I have concepts of a plan.
And you've come out on the other side and you're kind of smelling like a rose right now. Like you've managed to do this. You have flipped over your defense completely and have the youngest, cheapest, and one of the better defenses, certainly the best young defense in the NFL. And you got a pretty good stud receiver out there in Puka Nacua, right? You've got, you found your back in Williams, who all of a sudden looks pretty good. And, you know, they've got $40, $50 million to spend. And all of a sudden you're looking at this thing being like, hey, man, we build one or two more O-linemen in here that we grab and we find another receiver to go along with Puka. Boy, we got something cooking here for a while.
This is where a GM earns his money. I mean, not that GM hasn't earned his money there in LA. He's done a great job.
Yeah, this is where.
When you get creative, you got to get creative and make it work for him as well as you because they're way off on money. So
absolutely.
Can you get that done? And that would be a testament to, what is his name, Les Snead, I think.
Les Snead.
That'd be a testament to him if he can get it done. Now, the Vancouver Four text line says Stafford and Rodgers to the Raiders. How about that? Rotate in old quarterbacks? Like two running backs? That'd be great. Tom Brady then puts on the pads and...
Just know that every time an Emmett Smith signs with the Arizona Cardinals, just realize that never goes well. It never goes well.
Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl.
Well...
So it does go well.
Yeah.
You son of a B.
Yeah. Although Peyton wasn't quite that level. But yeah, I mean,
he was. He was old.
I see where you're going.
A lot
with it.
Of people piled on Peyton, including you.
A defense.
And they won a Super Bowl.
That defense won the Super Bowl.
All right. Coming up later, more NFL Monday musings. We have a very special birthday we'll get to coming up next on The Fan. Vancouver Four text line. Do you think if Stafford or Rodgers gets to the Raiders and then makes the playoffs, Brady just tells him, I'll take it from here?
Well, I mean, you could make a case that you'd rather have Tom Brady than Aaron Rodgers. I wouldn't say that necessarily about
No question.
Stafford right now.
If I could have any of the three, power ranking the three right now, and I know Tom Brady's not playing. He's an owner, so he officially can't come back.
Sure.
Right? What do you mean, sure? Like, I think, like, he can't.
I don't think he can, no. He would have to sell.
He
would have to sell.
Yeah.
He would have to sell that stake. No, he's not.
He's done.
Yes.
But.
Yeah.
I would go Stafford 1, Brady 2. Rodgers 3.
That is probably where I would go as well.
Maybe Brady 1, but he's awful old at this point. What's he, 46? 47? 46?
I want to say he's, I think he's like 44, right?
I think he's a little older
than
that.
Is he older than that?
He's 47.
47?
Oh, yeah. All right. Never mind.
He'll be 48 in August.
Never mind.
He's almost 50.
Never mind. I thought he was younger.
But in all seriousness, how many quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, could 48-year-old Tom Brady be better than?
Well, again, that's a good question. Like, I think Brett Favre said this when he ended up hanging him up. How old did Brett play till? Because he had good years in Minnesota. That, you know, the weird, the taking your head off gate. Like, that was a good Minnesota team with Brett Favre. And he said he could physically still play.
He
was 41. And so he said he could have kept playing. He just couldn't do it for 17 weeks. He couldn't do it in the offseason. So I have no doubt that if you got Tom Brady in shape and you had him play the last six games of the year and into the playoffs, under the right circumstances with a good old line, like, and this is the thing about with any of them, Aaron Rodgers, one of the problems that Aaron Rodgers had in New York is he didn't have a run game. He didn't have an offensive line. You can't be back there running for your life. But if you played behind the Eagles' offensive line or you played behind a really good old line with a good scheme and you had a run game, you can play action and, you know, do all that stuff. There's plenty of guys that could play under today's rule set and you could play longer and longer. But the problem is if you play for a crappy team, you get hung out to dry. You can't run the ball. You end up in third and long and you have no tackles and the pocket's being shoved into your face. I don't care who you are. You're dead, which is why in today's game, it behooves you to be mobile. And you know what? None of those three guys are mobile.
Yeah. I just think he's, you know, it's a little bit more of a, you may be overthinking a little bit. It's just a fun exercise. Yes. How many starting quarterbacks is Tom Brady better than right now?
A lot. I'll bet you probably 10 to 12. I think at any point in the NFL, you have 10 really good starting quarterbacks. Well, actually, you have four probably elite, six very good, another four or five that are solid, and then you get into like the, and then there's probably five or six that are just bad. And Tom is certainly would be better than the bad ones, and he's probably better than
Tommy.
A handful of the others.
So he, at the age of 45? Threw for 4,700 yards, 25 tutties, and 9 picks.
Yeah.
At the age of 45.
And that's a solid, and he, again.
The year before that, 44, the age of four, I should have put it this way.
Yeah.
At the age of 44, he threw for over 5,000 yards, 43 touchdowns, and won a Super Bowl.
Yes. With an elite offensive line and elite weapons, and in that case, it worked out. And we, you know, you mentioned, you know, Peyton Manning, who came over and had one really good year in Denver and then one really crappy year where he got benched for Paxton Lynch. But isn't it weird that the year that they broke all those records with him, they got drilled. And then the year where he was bad, one of the worst starting quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl, they won because of the elite defense. But you could say that that worked out. That wasn't a disaster. Joe Montana was about 36, 37 when he went to Kansas City, and they were okay. Not great, but they were solid. Favre had some decent years when he left Green Bay. You know, and you mentioned Stafford. You can't include Stafford in that. He was young enough when he went to the Rams. They won a Super Bowl. Brady, though, won a Super Bowl in Tampa and had a couple good years there. So, I mean, this can work. It just has to be the right circumstances. And every one of those teams was a team that was a quarterback away. You can't bring in a 35-plus-year-old quarterback on a reclamation project team with a bad old line and say, hey, we're going to do this, Raiders.
Let's not forget Manning, two Super Bowls in Denver.
Yeah, but one, that's what I said. The year that he was really good, they got drilled in the Super Bowl.
But he made the Super
Bowl. He made the Super Bowl, yeah.
So, I mean, I think he should be, just because they lost that,
that's what
doesn't
I said.
Discredit.
I just think it's weird that the one year that he was great is the year they got their teeth kicked in, and the year where he was garbage and got benched, that's the one they won. It is the weirdest. That may be the weirdest case study in, like, elder quarterback history. Going to Denver, lighting the world on fire, coming back. He had that nerve issue where he couldn't hold the ball. He couldn't throw I gotta look up his numbers, but he got benched for Paxton Lynch. Think about this. Had Lynch even been serviceable, he would not have started that Super Bowl. He would have lost his job. And what do we think of that? Well, if Paxton Lynch had led them to a Super Bowl.
Well, I don't think he would have.
Well,
some of it was just Peyton. Yes, Peyton was not very good, but he was still Peyton Manning at the line of scrimmage and as a leader. That's very different than Paxton Lynch. And I am here for your elder quarterback case studies, by the way.
Yeah.
That you mentioned. I want more elder quarterback case studies from you. I think, as a matter of fact, that should be a bit.
It is.
Friday.
It is interesting to go back and look at it. Right. I'm looking at Peyton's.
Okay, hold that thought.
I want to look at his numbers.
All right, we'll come back. We've got a very special sports birthday, and Stockwatch is coming up on The Fan.